Yeah. So
that's amazing.
Though. Yeah. It is. It is really
well. You know, I have this conversation with so many clients, like athletes of mine.
Yeah.
That like, there's such a different mindset that you grew up with when you play sports and you are athletic. Like, the focus was never in my family, like what my body looked like at all. It was how it performs, right?
Nice.
Which maybe comes with its own set of, you know, issues if there's like, well, if you run this time, we'll get you X. You know what I mean?
Oh,
but,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was definitely what I perceive to be a healthy situation. And like, if you're only focused on what your body can do, like, well, you're not worried about the number on the scale, right? Like you're focused on performance, running a faster time. And track's a great sport because it's just like objective like that.
Yeah.
Right? Like you run the time or you don't, you know?
That's what she did this summer. They had to run for cheer and she had to run 25 miles over the summer or whatever, but she was like kind of paying attention to her time and the heat and everything. And I was like, this is a good thing to foster with her, especially like with girls these days and their bodies and everything else. So
Yeah. I got so many clients that, you know, have saw mom diet all of their life, right? And have a really challenging relationship with food. So, of course, they're going to have a challenging relationship with food as an adult. And that's just how it goes. It's sad.
I can kind of relate to that. Yeah. My mom didn't diet all the time, but she still had like weight issues. And then I remember her commenting to me something about it. She was like, sorry, mom, but she was like, one day she was like, oh, well, I woke up last night worried about your weight. And I was like, well, fuck off. Like, I'm sorry, my weight is keeping you up at night. And then later she apologized and she was like, that's part of my own like programming and upbringing from my mom.
Totally.
And so it was nice of her to say that, but still I was like, man, it's just a whole thing.
Yeah.
With women, and I've tried really hard not to do that to my kids, but I know that I do some, and I know, like, I'm trying to lose weight right now, and they know it, but I had to explain to them, like, listen, my weight really did get up, and my cute clothes aren't fitting, and I know that I can be healthier, so they've been really supportive around that.
Yeah, that's and weird, though. If you're approaching it from a healthy mindset, you know, I mean, that's something entirely different when we're promoting nutritious foods and all these things and, you know, down there dehydrating your kale, doing all this stuff.
I am dehydrating my kale.
But like, if we're just constantly giving this image of trying to be less, trying to be less, trying to be less, like, oof, that gets tough. And they see everything.
They see everything. And so it was like a fine line. And Gigi was like, you know what? I want to like eat better. And she said, I don't want to eat chips all the time and all that. And I was like, I want to support that. That's good.
Yeah.
Those are good habits. So I was like, me too. I was like, let's try to be healthier. Let's like, she didn't want to go to Chick-fil-A. She wanted to go to Chipotle or whatever. And I was like, great. Actually, that's really great. I, you know, like, so I'm trying to gauge that and do it.
Yeah. Being like, it's okay to, it's okay to have chips sometimes.
Yeah.
But you know, if we have chips today, maybe we don't have chips the next couple of days, you know, like figuring out some type of harmonious relationship, right? I hate the word balance, but harmonious relationship for these things to exist in our lives.
I agree. Yeah. All right. Well,
you're doing your best.
Shall we get started?
Right? Mom life.
I think we are started. So I'm probably going to leave all that in. I'm going to light us some Palo Santo.
Beautiful.
And welcome everyone. Hi. Welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. Yes. We're already talking with our guest in my new space, which I'm so like, it's coming along. If you look back a few episodes with Jordan Bowditch and stuff, it's like all white in the background. So at least it's coming along. If you're not watching, then I don't know, check it out on Spotify or YouTube and see what you think. I'd love feedback. I am very open to it. So yeah. So welcome. I'm so excited that you're here. And I'm trying to think of any news up top. I don't really have any big pressing news right now. I'm just thrilled that you're here. Leave a review if you haven't yet. I'm going to say that up top because I'm trying to build up my reviews. Here, you want some of this?
Thank you.
That's my Palo Santo. I like to light. I like to tune us into the intention right now and just really take a deep breath. And I like to say a prayer for myself and for our guests that our words are led to your ears and hit the way that they need to, that our words are led divinely guided. So thank you for being here. And so we are getting started today with our guest, Bonnie Schroeder, and you are a transformation coach, among other things. Yeah. Also a wonderful host for travel. We just went to Egypt together. So I definitely wanted to shout that out with Trova Trips. And so if anyone's wondering about epic trips like that, you can find really trustworthy, wonderful tour influencers. I don't know.
Hosts.
That's the word. Yeah. Tour hosts. So thank you again for that. I'm just so happy I took the leap. I talked about it on a recent podcast. And so, yeah, so happy. Yeah. And I'm glad we get to sit down and talk about transformation.
Yeah. Everything.
One of my favorite topics in the whole wide world.
Yeah. I know that's how you describe yourself as well. So it's been so great getting to know you. And like the second time we met, I brought up the Egypt trip and you're like, we're in, like, we are going. We met again at a party and it was just one of those divinely inspired moments where like, it's just meant to be, right?
It was.
You were meant to come on that trip and you guys had an extra special trip.
Yeah, we did.
That we got to be a part of. So that was so, so beautiful. And, you know, I love people like that, like the spontaneous people that are like, yep, I'm in, we're doing it.
I know, just make a decision.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm always like that, but...
You were that night.
I think it's a practice. I just felt like something and I was like, this is a yes, you know? Yeah. And I like when you have those like fuck yeses and you don't overthink it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's something that you teach people because we can get so caught up in our heads 100%. About overthinking and all that. So,
100%.
You know, and it's what?
That's just tapping into that intuition, right? It's just being a little bit more in tune with... okay, if this feels like a yes, I'm not going to go looking for all the reasons that it should be a no, right? It's a fuck yes or it's a no.
Yeah.
So dive in, follow that feeling.
And I think that my brain did start to search for no's. Totally. It, before the trip came, I mean, I might have talked to you about this. I was searching for every no. I was like trying to find reasons not to go. And I don't know why my brain was tricking me. But when we take a leap and when we take a risk, our brain can try to talk us out of it, even when it is a fuck yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what do you say to that as a coach?
Right. There's so many things that it could be. And I think it's sometimes can get tricky to distinguish the difference between like intuition and anxiety, because you can have intuition about a situation being not great, or you can have anxiety about a situation. And I think both of those kind of can come up in similar ways, and trying to distinguish the difference can be really, really tricky, especially when you don't have, a history or a background and maybe whatever's happening, right? You have no other resources to rely on how this might play out.
Or even like things you can look to and go like, okay, I felt like that this one time before.
Right.
Like later you can draw on that. But if you're just experiencing, what do you do? Like,
right. Yeah. I think it really just has to be that deep sense of inner knowing and trusting in yourself, which I think is another skill that can be built up, right? As humans, as entrepreneurs, taking these leaps of faith and trusting yourself that like, okay, if I jump, like I know I can catch myself. Mm-hmm. And some of the best things happen from that.
I agree. I'm on a big path of surrender and it's just this constant like, okay, unclench your fists. Okay, relax. Okay, it's all right. You know? And it takes me like doing it over and over and still being okay. I didn't die. I'm not, you know, I didn't end up on the street. You know?
Right.
I mean, like everybody's okay. And then I'm like, all right. It just reinforces it every time. So I have to like draw from proof then.
Yes. Just trusting in yourself, trusting in your capabilities. Like, and once you've got a little bit of evidence in your bank that you've done it once before and everything turned out okay, then you can just start accumulating more evidence and more trust in yourself and more trust in that inner voice, no matter where it's coming from, you know, head, heart, gut, like it's going to be okay.
Yes,
it is. But sometimes surrendering can be the hardest thing.
Oh my, it is for me.
Whew. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So you have a focus on physical transformation as well. And you share a lot about that. I invite anybody to go check out the Instagram. Her Instagram's in the notes. If you haven't seen Bonnie, you absolutely should. Your body is amazing. Goals. And so totally. And you have a focus on physical training and attaining peak performance mentality through mentorship and one-on-one coaching. Mm-hmm. But I just hope that you can talk some about that and the result that you get mentally when you do that, because I'm working on that myself right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So athletics has been a part of my life since day one, like just how we were having this conversation earlier. You know, there was softball and soccer and cross country, and then track was really my first love. So I was excited to hear that your daughter was getting into that. But ran track in high school, ran track in college, had that amazing opportunity. And then after college, like so many collegiate athletes, you're used to having a coach, you're used to having this structure, two-a-days, whatever. And then boom, gone. Like it's a very, very odd feeling. And mm-hmm. you're left a bit lost. And it's kind of like, oh, okay, now what if I'm not an athlete?
And nobody's telling you what to do. You don't have to be right. at practice.
Yeah.
Rehearsal.
But yeah. yeah. Same thing. Yeah. yeah. You know, that structure and everything that comes with that is kind of gone. So after college, you know, I found myself like trying to stay in running shape and not really enjoying it anymore without the competitive piece. And I was a sprinter. So I didn't get the same joy from long distance running.
Yeah.
Ended up finding myself in a group of bodybuilding dudes at a local gym. And so I trained that way for a couple years. Never competed with bodybuilding, but trained in that manner. Really, really enjoyed cool. it. And that was the first time where I was like, oh, I can change things. I can build up parts of my body and I can change things and kind of mold and manipulate this machine to look how I want it to look and perform mm-hmm. how I want it to perform. And that was really my first taste of like falling in love with weightlifting. Because with track, we didn't have much of a weightlifting program. But really, really got into it then, trained that way till maybe 25 or 26, found CrossFit. Really, really enjoyed CrossFit. But CrossFit is one of those sports where you have to be pretty good at a variety of things, mm-hmm. right? It's this really well-rounded sport. And there were some things I was just terrible at. And I'm also not like a large person.
Flipping a tire?
I can flip a tire. Muscle ups, anything like walking on my hands, on like rhythmic things.
Okay.
Not so much.
I wouldn't have guessed.
Love to dance. Don't think I'm any good at it, but rhythmic things, you know, and I'm also on the smaller side, so I would be competing against women that were, you know, 50 plus pounds, bigger than me and really, really strong.
Yeah.
But CrossFit led me to powerlifting, and that's where I really, really fell in love with lifting heavy, and I'm competing against people my own size and was seeing a lot of success with that. And at the time, I was training people part-time in the gym, still had my corporate job that I was doing, and eventually decided to take a leap and pursue coaching full-time. And I fell in love with all of that, but then like so many other trainers, you are like, oh, I can't really scale this if I'm seeing 10 to 12 people a day. I'm not even having time for my workouts. I'm kind of resenting being in the gym, you know, which is the opposite of what I wanted this situation to be.
Right.
So then I decided to fully take my business online. I moved, took my business online, and I've been coaching for over a decade now. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Or just about a decade.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. It's been a journey. So I'm no longer competing in powerlifting. I had a great run with that, competed from 27 to 32 or 33,
mm-hmm.
coached myself to a lot of goals that I wanted to hit, and had a beautiful, beautiful time in that sport. And that led to so many amazing people and opportunities. And I will never say anything bad about, you know, that world, but it was, mm-hmm. it was what it needed to be for me at the time. And now I'm happily focused on coaching and helping other people reach their physical goals, tap into their strength, you know, that they didn't even know they had. And it's been so lovely and so rewarding in so many ways.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to know you.
Long story crunched and very short there.
That's okay. We can get into parts of it. Yeah. But one thing that kind of stood out to me in there is the mental transformation of thinking of your body as a machine.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what I think of it as, but I don't really think of it as that.
Yeah.
And I would like to start to think of it as that,
right?
Like something I'm transforming into a peak machine, you know, like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah. And that's going to be a different definition for everyone, right?
Sure. But I think generally speaking, that's something I need to like transform.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very much an athlete. How do I do that? It's very much an athlete mentality, right?
Okay.
Like as far as we know, I mean, well, in this lifetime,
I did like ballet and dance growing up. I didn't really do,
which is amazing.
Any other athletics.
Dancers are badass. We only get one of these in our lifetime.
That's right.
That's it, right? And when you really, really look at it, like that should be enough. That alone should be reason enough to take the best possible care of this machine that you can, right?
Yeah.
If we're comparing it to a car, we're getting our oil changes. We're not putting shitty gasoline in some type of car that we're trying to treat as a race car,
mm-hmm.
right? Like we're really, really diving into the care of this and staying consistent. And I mean, you do so much of this as well. Like you are eating healthy. You are, you know, moving and doing things like that. But I always reference like having a healthy disconnect. Like You are not your body. You get to live in this. Mm-hmm. You get to live in this super, super cool vessel that does everything for you. Like, most of the time, without complaint, without restriction, like, you get to go walk into a gym. You have two legs to walk into a gym. Yeah. Like, all of this always comes back to gratitude for this machine and everything mm-hmm. it does for you. And of course, you know, we know that every single cell in this machine is also listening to the feedback we give it constantly, right? We have 40 trillion cells or whatever, listening to the thoughts, listening to what we say. Like, why wouldn't we make this the best, most loving, kindest place to exist while we get it?
Can you ever tell people or train yourself to just trick yourself into, I mean, I do it with other affirmations. So, and I know I've done it some, like, I am strong and all these things physically.
Yeah.
But maybe I need to say, like, I love working out. Yeah. I love my body as a machine. Like, maybe I need to implement some affirmations and self-talk like that.
Try it. I mean, you know the power of affirmations.
It's so powerful that I hardly do it that much anymore because it's like it's ingrained unconsciously.
Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, if we're rewriting that narrative, that self-talk, like, that's going to change your behaviors. That's going to change your routine and then ultimately change your identity.
Right? Do you do that? What do you do? What's yours like? What's your self-talk and what do you tell your clients?
My self-talk has been really, really good. I'll be honest. I've never
had. Like, your whole life?
Most of my life. Wow. Outside of, you know, a genetic diagnosis, which yes. I'm sure we'll get into. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, I've always had a pretty good relationship with my body and food. And I've been very, very blessed and privileged to be able to say those things and raised the way I was raised, obviously led to that. Anytime I catch it from my clients, I'm like, you know that all of this is listening to you. It's hearing that feedback. And if we're projecting that, if we're projecting this low frequency, then what do you think you're going to get back? Like, we know how this works. Mm-hmm. It's just going to snowball and you're just going to dig this hole deeper and deeper. That's going to be harder and harder to get out of. So let's start, like, every time you are saying some statement out of lack or scarcity or self-hate, like, stop, notice it, catch it, be aware. And let's start rewriting those things every single time, because that's what it's going to take. These mm-hmm. habits have to be changed over and over and over before we start to believe them, before we start to change our behaviors and our routines.
I know, that's where I'm at. Yeah. Like, I want to join the gym down the road, but I haven't yet. And, like, why am I not prioritizing that time to get there and lift? Because I know I like it once I do it.
So what excuses, what lies have you been telling yourself?
Like, I don't have time, or do I have money for it? Should I be spending that? Like, the huge, right. Like, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Those are, I'd like to note too, those are kind of the same things that I was thinking about Egypt. Like, money, time, mm-hmm. should I really be doing that? You know, it was like, and it's just like, I don't know why I, like, tend to hold myself back when I really should just walk in there. It's like $100.
Yeah.
Or it maybe not even if you don't buy the classes. It's like 80.
Yeah, you could probably find gym memberships cheaper than that, right? Yes. Planet Fitness
this
is,
one's really close,
is $10 a That's month, true. Right? Like, we can't use the finances as an excuse. I know. But it is interesting, those self-sabotaging habits we notice and these lies that we tell ourselves. And I guarantee you there's more to it than that, right? If you really start following those feelings down, like, why are we concerned about going? It's not the time. It's not the money. Are we worried about what people are going to be thinking when they're, like, seeing us in the gym? Are we like, I don't even want to, like, see myself in a mirror. Like,
or is it that I'll have to do it then? And if I don't, I'm going to feel guilty. I'm going to feel like, oh shit. Now I know. And now I haven't shown up for a week or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, then there's that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's just got to become part of who I am and part of, right. Like, I want it to, it has been in times past and I've fallen off.
Yep.
And so I'm trying to get back in that mindset of it's just part of who I am, this lifestyle.
Right. Yeah. I heard that. I think it was a Tony Robbins quote. He's like, in order for change to become permanent, it has to become your identity. So how long was it before you even called yourself a podcaster?
Yeah.
Right. It probably took some time before you were, like, comfortable to adopt that title.
You know what? And then they flip that, right? You can flip that and you just start saying it. I am a book author, or I, you know, I am whatever it is. I'm a podcaster.
I lift weights.
I work out. I am a weightlifter.
Yeah.
Which actually I am.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Actually I am. I mean, I love it and I'm pretty good at it. And I just haven't done, I just like dropped the ball for literally like, I don't know, 4 years, which is weird because I'm about to marry a professional athlete. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
He's a heavyweight though. Yeah. So that's another story, but yeah. Well, so, you know, I think, you know, one of your innate messages is that we have the power and capability to transform ourselves. Anyone can, right?
Yes.
And your future with decisions you can make today. And I like that because it's this immediate thing.
Yes.
Like maybe after we film this, I should just go to the gym.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just fucking join.
There's always some actionable step. And we know that big picture changes can seem overwhelming and are just like ended up paralyzing you by like looking at the whole situation, right?
Yes. So maybe you should say that again. Like
paralysis by analysis.
Yes.
That's it, right? Looking at things from a bird's eye view can be incredibly overwhelming and just freeze a lot of people. It's happened to me so many times. So, okay, stop looking at the big picture situation. Like what needs to get you excited for the gym? Like, do we need to go shopping after this and get you like some cute new leggings that make you feel amazing?
Right.
Cool. Start there. That's easy. Do you want to be like, Bonnie, what about just like an accountability coach? Like, what if we like just check in a couple times a week? Like, I don't need you to program for me, but I would just like that extra piece of accountability. Because I coach so many coaches that, you know, they just want the accountability piece. They know what to do. They know what works.
Right.
They know what gets the job done. They know what's going to make the difference.
Don't we all? I mean, to a certain degree, maybe you don't know every single glute lift or whatever style of deadlift, but you know what? We know what to do.
We know. Yeah. So much of that is just having a little bit of extra accountability and I'd be like, Amy, how'd your workout go today? Tell me about it. You know? So it could be something as simple as that or just getting the outfit or whatever, a pair of new shoes, something like that. Something that's taking a step that direction.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be all in at once, but it does have to be enough to make it a habit.
What are some of the most striking transformations you've seen that maybe when someone started down this path or even with yourself, like that have really like moved you?
I can think of one client who's turned into an amazing friend, and he's also one of our member coaches in our Not Dead Yet Life mentorship. He came to me around maybe 42 years old, was never an athlete, like was just kind of curious about weightlifting, had found me on the internet through some mutual friends. And watching his transformation just, I mean, physically, of course, but also how he treats himself, how he speaks about himself, how he honors his body through training. It's not a punishment, right? This is an act of reverence. This is an act of love.
Wow.
He's able to recognize, you know, when he should scale back, when he should rest. And so much of that new excited athlete mentality is like, no days off, you know, like, you just get so excited like about it.
Pushing.
Yeah, pushing too hard instead of being in tune and listening with what your body's really asking for. Yeah. So the growth just across all spectrums for him has been so amazing to witness. He's taking pictures without a shirt on, you know, very obviously feeling more confident and comfortable with the machine he's in. And it's so, so cool to see. And I see him sharing that energy with other people in the group. And he's really focused on learning more about nutrition, has become a nutrition coach. So has just blossomed into this completely different person than he was when we first started. We've been together a couple of years now. It's been amazing. What's more rewarding than that?
I love that. That's a transformation. Yeah. Just saying this is an act of reverence, not like treating it like punishment.
But yeah.
I love myself so much that I do X,
yeah.
which I apply so easily to many things in my life, that I take the time to meditate, that I, you know, cook for my kids or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Why not add that, right?
Yeah. It's just another act of self-love, self-care, right?
Mm-hmm.
Discipline is one of the highest forms of self-care.
Yeah.
So when it comes to eating nutritious foods, movement, lifting, resistance training, that just falls in that category.
Are you ready to up-level your pleasure practice? I have in mind, and the main things that have helped me are the tools that I've found from Wands. Wands creates luxurious products that encourage us all to honor our body, celebrate our sexuality, and live in pleasure. with more pleasure all the time. One of my favorites, if you listen to this show, then you probably already know, is the cervix wand. Wands has trademarked their number one best-selling glass pleasure wand. It's for vaginal and anal de-armoring, and it's designed for cervical and G-spot stimulation. And let me tell you, it's incredible. It's helped thousands of women become more connected to their bodies and their pleasure, and supports them to heal pelvic pain through self-yoni massage and helps awaken more pleasure. Just recently, I've ordered the Venus Wand, another trademarked wand from Wands, and it's designed to activate and awaken the G-spot and more. Also, don't miss one of their new offerings, which are free bleed blankets that can be used as waterproof intimacy blankets. They have a beautiful selection now available. But take a look around at wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, because they have a huge selection of incredible items like yoni eggs, crystal pleasure wands in amethyst, black obsidian, anything that your heart desires, and so much more. Check them out at wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S.com, and use my link in the show notes to get 10% off, or simply enter my code, Amy Edwards, at checkout. Again, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, wands.com. Y'all, I have started using higher dose products, and I am such a fan. You know, I don't put anything on this podcast that I am not 100% completely behind. And I have a special discount code for you for all higher dose products. I'm so excited. If you don't know, Higher Dose is a wellness company. They have wellness tech products, they have tools, they have supplements, and they have body care. They have so many things that are hot right now too, that are really biohacking and up-leveling our lives at home, which is really cool. They have an infrared sauna blanket. They have an infrared PEMF mat that I'm so excited to be sharing about soon. One of my favorites though is the red light face mask. It stimulates collagen, it activates glowing skin, reduces fine lines, regenerates cells, and it's soft. It's not like one of the hard plastic ones. So you can kind of move it around on your body, which I've been doing. And I am seeing amazing results. I am absolutely addicted to it. I use it every single night. And I'm using it in conjunction with one of their other products, the Glow Serum. And I'm very picky about what I put on my skin. And I am loving the Glow Serum. It's specially formulated to plump and hydrate and stimulate radiant skin, which that's the goal. They have a ton of other products too, magnesium ingestibles, magnesium body care, which has a healing oil and a serotonin soap that you can use in your bath, which I've been using too. It boosts your mood, enhances your skin, and deepens your detox, gets you calmed down. Anyway, I'm a fan, so I'm so excited to offer you 15% off using my code MAGIC15. Go to the show notes. You can click through on the link right there, or if you go to Higher Dose, just enter the code MAGIC15 and you'll get 15% off. Higher Dose has been featured in Goop, Glamour, Elle, Vogue, Bazaar, Allure, basically you name it. And there's a reason why. So go check it out. It's at higherdose.com and enter my code MAGIC15 for 15% off.
Did you know that according to a study, 87% of women who have hair extensions lie about having them? And almost two-thirds of women have done some kind of hair extension at some point. So if you do the math, it's a lot. This show is all about letting go of judgments. So if you don't want to tell, I'm not going to judge you. And if you want to know the best secret for hair extensions anywhere around, it's right here in Austin, Texas at The Collective ATX. They have the most natural, lightweight, comfortable hair on the market, and they specialize in no damage to your natural hair like traditional hair extension methods, which I've tried them all. And I didn't even know that your hair is automatically damaged if the extensions are placed anywhere below your ears. Crazy, right? My hair is actually growing in and getting healthier now too. Plus, they keep all their extensions in-house, meaning that you don't have to wait at all. Not to mention color. I'm so picky. I did it myself for years because no one can get it right until now. They were named a top 200 salon by Salon Today in 2023. They've changed my hair journey. Let them change yours. The Collective ATX. Link is in the show notes. Tell them I sent you.
Well, so if your body, your machine has been cooperating with you, how did you feel when you got your diagnosis? And can you talk about like that a little bit? And
yeah.
Did that sort of just make you go, I don't know. I'm not going to make any assumptions.
Right. So little backstory on that. I was 26, I believe. And at the time, my mother was dealing with breast cancer and my father was dealing with prostate cancer. My older sister is a doctor in genetics, in cancer research. So she was like, we should probably get tested. If, you know, both of our parents have this, there could be something going on with us. So let's be responsible. Go get this quick blood draw done and see what's going on. And she was, you know, 29 at the time. And for her, this was really a big important step because her and her husband were figuring out if they wanted to have kids. Mm-hmm. So this would have been, you know, possibly a determining factor for them. Mm-hmm. And I'm 26 and running around living my life thinking this is a waste of time and waste of money, but whatever, I'll go do it to pacify my older sister. And so we went, I was living in Iowa at the time, we went to Iowa City Hospitals, did the test, and thank God hers came back negative, mine came back positive.
That's so weird. That's just how it goes, right?
That's just how it goes. Came back positive for BRCA1. Mm-hmm. And this mutation, basically I'm missing a gene. So I have a genetic deletion. And this increases my risk for breast cancer up to about 85% throughout my life and about 50% for ovarian cancer. And looking at my dad's side of the family, mm-hmm. it's pretty obvious where it was coming from. So my mom was tested. Hers was negative. Okay, that means my dad's a positive. And his mother had had cancer, his older sister, him, and his younger sister. And his older sister had actually gotten breast cancer at 30, which is shockingly young, right? So there's something else at play here. Mm-hmm. So that was a diagnosis I got when I was 26. And the protocol that they have for this is annual mammograms, mm-hmm. ultrasounds, transvaginal ultrasounds, and just your regular pelvic exam, mm-hmm. right? So just more screening, but they recommend having a prophylactic mastectomy before you're 35 to reduce your risk as much as possible.
Before 35?
Before 35,
wow. Yeah.
And then typically they recommend an oophorectomy, removal of the ovaries before 45-ish, which is tricky because that's still premenopausal, so there's a lot of hormonal implications. Mm-hmm. So I got this diagnosis and immediately just felt like my body was a ticking time bomb. Just the relationship that I had with it completely changed, and I was really mad. You know, it's those stages of grief, you know, it's mm-hmm. denial, anger, all these stages. And I was very, very much in denial for a long time, and I like didn't go to my appointments just because I didn't want to look at that.
That so surprises me because you're so in tune.
Yeah.
Well, and the woman I know now is very in tune, you know?
Very much so now at 36 for sure. Me a decade ago was a different story. But didn't want to just look at that ugly piece of whatever I had going on and was really, really mad at the universe. Like, wasn't mad at mom and dad. They didn't know. They didn't know what was going on. But just mad at the universe for feeling like I was dealt a really shitty hand.
Yeah.
And just kind of not having anywhere to put that anger, that emotion. Eventually got on a better routine of going to my appointments and doing my screenings and blood draws and all these things. But there's so much anxiety around every appointment.
I can totally imagine.
Yes. So much anxiety that you hold on to just simply wondering, like, is this it? Like, is this the appointment where I find out? And, you know,
I had one tiny, you know, lump I had to have biopsied or something and do that whole thing. And I was like, whoa, I just felt for people that go through this because it was a lot just for that month or whatever it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Waiting to hear the results. Mm-hmm. I had a biopsy done on this breast and maybe in 2020, I've always been very small, very dense, athletic pecs, you know?
Yeah.
So I could feel things very easily. And in 2020, I had maybe two little bumps that I found, little lumps, and they were nothing, but like every time it's just that overwhelming panic and fear of like, this is it. Like, this is the appointment where they tell me I have cancer.
What a roller coaster.
And, yeah.
I mean, you just be like, that can't be good for your nervous system.
No, your cortisol is through the roof. So that was 2020. And of course, it was hard to see doctors during 2020. So had to get creative with being seen and really stressing the importance of the situation. But that was 2020. And after those two scares, I was like, I'm done with this. Let's get this surgery scheduled. Let's get this on the books. So I made an appointment. It would have been spring of 21, had my mastectomy. And, you know, decide that I was in a good place emotionally with a great partner, spiritually, financially, like, let's do this. Like, I'm ready. I'm finally ready for this step. Had the mastectomy, went direct to implant. So they would literally just cut you open, take everything out, put the implant in, do the other side. And
everything. So they don't have to take out your nipple, take your nipple?
I still have my nipples. It was nipple sparing. Usually if there's already some type of cancerous growth, then whatever happening. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The nipples got to go. Whatever. If my nipples have to go at some point, sure, that's fine. Sure. It does leave a small risk leaving them, but my risk is decreased down to like 6%. Oh, you know, cool. Or 5% versus 85.
Yeah.
Great.
85.
Yeah. I wasn't going to bank on that 15% chance of not getting it. And of course, you know, when we're looking at holistic wellness, well, there's so many other lifestyle factors that can be the thing to turn on these genetics. I wasn't going to just rely on that either. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there can definitely be some other sides to this argument, if you will, and how much risk you're willing to take, whatever direction. Well, I'm going to just try to do as much as I can both directions, yeah. You know. So, yes, had my bilateral prophylactic nipple-sparing mastectomy, direct to implant. And, you know, I was never really big before, so I just said, put whatever you can fit in there. I don't want to deal with expanders.
Yeah.
Because that requires a whole other surgery, and then you have to be really delicate with these expanders for however long they're in. So it's really interesting going to sleep and waking up and not knowing what you're going to get. Yeah. Maybe something didn't look great and they weren't able to do anything. That's a risk as well. So I'm certainly not married to these. If anything were to ever go awry, out they go.
Right.
So that's kind of where I'm at with that. But it was definitely a journey, and feeling like I had a more feminine body was really interesting, because I always just had a very, very athletic body, and I'm like, look at these curves. They're not even that big, but I'm like, whoa, you know?
I mean, they look good on your frame, you know?
Yeah, like, very happy. The doctors did an amazing job. And that was a big, big part of my journey, and will continue to be, because I will have one more surgery in my future. This past year in 2023, I had a salpingectomy, which was just removal of the fallopian tubes. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of BRCA1 women, the ovarian cancers can actually start in the tubes. So tube removal actually decreases your risk without the hormonal implications of the ovaries. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you want to keep your ovaries as long as you can to not go through menopause too early, but there is still a risk of having those. So I just have my annual like transvaginal ultrasounds to take a look at the ovaries and a blood draw, because there is a lab marker that pops up with cervical cancer as well. Or not cervical, ovarian cancer as well.
Okay.
So that's my continued screening protocol. But the salpingectomy was so easy.
Oh.
Wow. And like my only other reference for surgery was a mastectomy, which looking back, I'm like, oh, that was a really big deal. Mm-hmm. These just, you know, laparoscopic, and I was bloated for a couple days and then good to go, which was pretty amazing. But those are the two steps I've taken in prevention. Mm-hmm. And
but how do you feel about that now, as far as transforming from feeling angry about, you know, like, oof, how's that?
So different.
Is it still a bit of a dance sometimes?
So, it hasn't been that in a while. Like, it hasn't been that anger and that kind of feeling of unfairness since before I got my mastectomy. And I've completely changed my relationship with my body. I've apologized to her so many times. Like, I'm so sorry I said those things. Like, I'm so sorry I acted like it was your fault. It's not.
Do you think that's part of the process, though, that you can't skip over?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. I think probably. I'm tearing up just thinking about it. You know, I've had so many incredible conversations with this machine. Like, I owe everything to her. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a journey. And I'm not mad at her anymore. And I've had so many apologetic conversations that right now I feel like we're on really good terms.
Yeah. So do you just lay in bed, I guess, and like,
oh,
send
I don't,
those messages, or yeah, what's that like?
I don't know that I've had any intentional moments of having that conversation. It just kind of happens very naturally.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember one day I was on the treadmill and I just got overcome with emotion and just the love that I have for this machine. Mm-hmm. And apologized and told her, I'm sorry. I'm so fucking sorry. But thank you. Like, thank you for carrying me this far without any problems. Like, we're healthy. I know other women that are younger than me with this diagnosis that have already gotten breast cancer. And wow, yeah, the relationship with her is so different.
That's very profound, because I think that there are plenty of people. I mean, maybe, you know, it took that for you to get to this relationship with your body. Mm. Not that you didn't have it before, because you kind of did have a good relationship, but now it's much more.
So deep.
It's deep. It's so deep. Deeper. Yes. Mm. And so, you know, I think if someone doesn't go through that, then they don't have that opportunity to really look within and feel that deep appreciation.
Yeah. You know? I mean, you hear it all the time, how diagnoses can change people's everything.
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 Like in an instant.
Mm-hmm. In an instant, you see life differently. Mm-hmm. And after seeing my mom pass away from her cancer.
How old were you again? Wow.
She passed away in 22.
Okay.
So it was about 13 months ago.
So she had cancer for a really long time.
She had cancer for 13 years.
Ay.
Yep. Kind of off and on.
Yeah.
You know, but was never really fully read of it. Mm-hmm. And watching that was terrible.
It was terrible. So hard.
Yeah. And losing a parent is strange, and grief is a really weird emotion to navigate, no matter what your relationship with that parent was.
Mm-hmm.
But.
So she got to see you going through some of this.
Yes. Yeah. 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 She was there throughout, you know, my own mastectomy and mm-hmm. everything. And.
What's her name?
Ruth.
Ruth.
Yeah. 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 So that was definitely a roller coaster, losing a parent and watching the last year just kind of be this slow decline. And when she passed, that changed everything. I definitely thought I had my emotions in kind of neat little organized boxes around how I felt around these things. And then boom, loss hits you and everything is forever changed.
Mm-hmm.
How you look at everything, how you treat every situation, how you can choose to be fully, fully present, because this might be the last conversation we ever have.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You're more present. You listen deeper. You feel deeper. You realize the incredible importance of everything. And I'm very aware of my own clock ticking.
Yeah. I think that made me... I was 32 when my mom died. 37, yeah. Maybe, when my dad died. And I think it just made me grow up in a whole different way, mm-hmm. you know? And that surprised me. I felt like it was a transformation in a different way into like just a whole different version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember after my mom died, my dad said that once, and he was like, I can't, like, you look different. And I was like, yeah, mm-hmm. I felt different.
Yeah, I am. Mm-hmm. How could I not be?
I am. How could you not be?
Right.
Right. It's very impactful.
Yeah.
In so many ways. And so that's an interesting part of your journey, and just in general, like recognizing that we have these big opportunities to transform. Even my sister, I remember her saying to me once, she was like, we're the oldest generation now. I was like, oh my God, we are. And you know, it was just like a moment of, oh shit, we are. And so, you know, there's just a lot of realizations around the way.
Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. I think those mortality moments, I guess, is what I like to call them, you know.
Yeah, they are.
And if you haven't had one yet, well, they're coming. And, you know, very blessed to have a partner that has also gone through loss and was able to relate and understand everything that I was going through as I was navigating that whole journey. But, you know, I think of my own mortality moment at 26 when I was diagnosed, and that's one of those moments that changes your life forever. Mm-hmm. And a big loss, like the loss of a parent, is another one of those moments that changes mm-hmm. your life forever.
And it makes you a better coach for all these people in so many ways.
A better everything.
A better everything. You know what? It does.
Friend, partner, mm-hmm. everything.
Do you feel like for those years when you're angry, you were holding back from letting yourself learn from this?
Completely. Completely. I think at 26, I was much, much less aware and less conscious than the person I am now, you know? Mm-hmm. I was very much living in this very masculine state. You know, that's when I was really, really starting to focus on competing and just, I'm not looking at problems. I'm just mm-hmm. focusing on this, got my blinders on. So completely, yeah, I'm able to look at it with just the most different perspective now.
Do you think that's a key to transformation?
Yeah.
I think maybe it is too. Just that willingness to learn from it rather than mm-hmm. be pissed off or,
yeah,
you know.
And I mean, it's a very natural feeling. I think it's a step that many people go through. I think those steps are important because you're getting familiar with those feelings mm-hmm. and why you're feeling those feelings and kind of being able to assign them to things rather than just not knowing where to put this rage or anger or grief or denial or whatever that may be. Like, you're actually gaining emotional intelligence from all these experiences.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, though, I know that moving energy through your body with weightlifting, any type of exercising, is a huge therapeutic thing.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so you were doing that.
Sure. But I think that a lot of people can treat lifting as a band-aid.
What does that mean exactly?
It's a cover-up, right? It's not a cure or anything. Like, it's just, I'm calling, you know, the weight room therapy, when maybe what I actually need is therapy and talking. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's
like
not,
a diversion kind of.
Right, or? Right. Like, it's not fixing the problem. It's just a distraction. And maybe, hopefully, a healthy one, kind mm-hmm. of, because you are doing something, hopefully, that's good for your body. But I think many, many, many people treat it as a band-aid.
That's interesting to hear, right? Mm-hmm. Like, anything, even when you're healthfully moving energy through your body and yeah. exercising and all that, anything can become a crutch or something that we're distracting ourselves
with. Yeah. Maybe you had some loss in your life, and instead of sitting with these emotions and looking at these feelings and giving them one-on-one time with yourself mm-hmm. and making eye contact with these feelings and these shadows, you just decide to start training harder and longer. And I'm not looking at that. Focus on this, right? Like, anything can become that.
Anything. Do you have clients that happens to, and how are you able to recognize it and steer them onto facing whatever it is they need to face?
Yeah, I've had those conversations many times. Actually, I had a client who lost her father last year prior to my mother. And she was like, I'm just going to really focus on this and really dial in this and dial in that.
Oh, and my I'm God, like, it was like obvious.
Oh.
She was like telling
yes,
you.
Yes, yes. And we're having these kind of conversations. You know, my check-ins with my clients are so much more than, how's the barbell moving? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
What's going on in your life? Let's talk about your stress. Let's talk about all these other factors that are going to impact how we feel in the gym and how we're treating training. So yeah, she blatantly told me on that one. But I was like, okay, pause. Let's take a second to really look at what you just went through. Like, I want you to take a couple days off and take some time away from the gym. Spend some time with your family. Spend some time alone. Like, give these feelings, these emotions, the respect and the time and the space that they deserve, because they do deserve that.
Do they do it?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I'm glad they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think a lot of times people can ignore that really sound advice.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes like not doing it sometimes to realize that you need it.
Sure. Sure. And then you're just, again, running yourself further into the ground mm-hmm. and you're working against yourself, right? You're taking two steps back every time instead of a step forward. So I think I've got really respectful clients that will listen and listen to the advice I have to give.
Speaking of advice, what's some of your best advice or some of your favorite advice or some things that you lean on a lot?
I really love that. So I guess it really doesn't have much to do with what we were talking about as far as like physical training. But one time one time it's special to me because it's from my dad. So one time we were at a wedding and it was one of my high school friends and it mm-hmm. wasn't like, I was in my 20s, wasn't dating anyone at the time. And my dad had also gotten invited to the wedding since it was a childhood friend. They mm-hmm. knew my parents and my dad was there. And I'm sitting at this table with my high school friends and they're all married and having kids and all these things that I'm not doing. Some things I have no intention of ever doing, and just realizing how little I have in common with these people. And I'm just like, oh man,
I get it.
I can't relate. Yeah. I cannot relate. I love that you guys are on this path and excited about, you know, your journeys and being mothers and all these things. That's beautiful, amazing. Love that for you. But can't relate. And I went up to the bar to get a drink and my dad kind of follows me and I'm just like, oh, I don't even know what to say, right? Like I can't relate to these ladies anymore. And he just looks at me and he's very, very serious. And he's like, well, you knew that your path was always going to be different. He's like, you didn't want to be like that anyway. And maybe that's not advice, but it was exactly what I needed to hear in that moment. Like, yeah, you're different. You always knew that you're different and that your path was not going to be that path. And that's perfectly fine. That's okay. Different is what makes you special.
I think a lot of people can relate to that.
It was a really, really beautiful moment.
Yeah.
And so special hearing from your dad.
Oh, totally. Yeah. That he sees you, you know?
Totally seen.
Yeah.
Totally seen.
And that's something to share with other people too. When you're like, this is your path, you know?
Mm-hmm. 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 My other favorite advice, and I'm not sure if it's a Matt Vincent quote. Maybe he got it somewhere.
Who is your life partner?
Who is my partner? It is, don't take advice from people you wouldn't go to for their opinions.
Yeah. Yes. Don't take criticism from anyone you wouldn't take advice from, too. Correct. I think I've heard of that variation.
Yep. Same thing.
Yeah, that is so true. And I forget it so often, you know, you'll take that one comment so hard on social media or whatever.
A stranger. Are you going to call that stranger for advice when you have something going on? No, of course not.
No,
of course not. There are people, you know, that we should have in our lives that we love and looked up to and respect. And like, those are the opinions that matter.
Yeah.
That's the advice you should seek, right? Don't let some random person on the internet have access to your emotions and energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what an incredible waste.
Absolutely.
But that is, I think, always a beautiful piece of advice to check in with, especially when you are active on social media and you are putting yourself out there to the world. Well, that's gotta be something you keep in mind.
Which you do all the time. I admire how quickly you post too, because sometimes I drag my feet on it and you'll like, you don't overthink it sometimes. Oh. And you just go ahead and put something out and I'll be like, oh, like in Egypt and stuff, you'd get something out. And I was like, man, I wanted to post something, but I wasn't sure what to post or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And you just can speak from your heart. And that's a muscle that you exercise too, I feel like. And
yeah. And, you know, when it comes to social media, thank you. Social media is so weird and different than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things have very different engagement and reach. And it's not the Wild West it was 10 right. years ago, right? So I think that we can either let that be a little frustrating and affect us and be a hole in the energy bucket, or we can just let it be liberating. Like, I'm not too worried about appeasing the algorithm. Yeah. I like this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to post it. And maybe that's not like the best thing for a business, but my page is a blend of both, right? Like, it's me, it's what I do, it's travel, it's lifting, it's spirituality, it's breathwork, it's all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that's probably not the best way to do it, because niches are the way to go. But
are
if
they?
You're
if, I don't even know anymore.
If you're trying to grow
I really
a page,
don't know.
I think there's probably a strong argument for it, but I'm just like, this is all of me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're here for me, like, you're gonna get all these different pieces. So here you go. And I've chosen to let it be liberating.
And they are all valuable parts that we can explore of transformation. At least they are for me.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that you just listed. That's part of it. And those are all the practices. That's the person I want to be that's in tune with those practices.
Yes. Yes. So. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm validating the shit out of you right now. Yes.
Received. Very I'm just soaking good. Up all Receive that good it. Stuff. I don't have any problems with compliments. I'm like, yes, thank you. I don't believe you. Continue.
Tell me more. Yeah. I know. I feel like kind of bad, like I didn't give you as ringing of a introduction as I should have, because you're a transformation coach, but you're also part of the brand Not Dead Yet. You know, you do so many things other than be a coach, like you were just listing. So
yeah,
and you've started your Reiki training.
Yes, right? Yes, and got my level one last year. So yeah, I got my breathwork certification a while ago, and so I'm able to kind of infuse Reiki into the breathwork sessions, so which is really beautiful. Hosting those in our gym on a monthly basis has been amazing.
Oh, that's so cool.
So heart-filling.
Yeah. And then, you know, the travel aspect too is such a big part of it. You're opening yourself up to all these different cultures and to all these different vibes everywhere.
For transformation, right?
For transformation, that's right.
You've never gone on one of these trips and haven't been changed by it, right? That's what's supposed to happen.
That's right. What's your most meaningful trip?
Oh,
I know. That's a tough one, especially when we just got back from Egypt.
We just did so much. Yeah, Egypt was amazing. But being in Uganda with Fight for the Forgotten was pretty impactful. And I know you've been there and seen that, but that was really my first exposure to that level of poverty. And being immersed in that and living with the Batwa community for a week with your fiancé. Yeah. Like, that was it. You know, I had this moment of coming back to service and getting back on social media and like sharing some stories. And I made the mistake of like scrolling a little bit. And the first thing that popped up was like hair and tanning and all these things. Yeah. I'm like, ugh. I'm like, that is so unimportant. You know, and I know I'll care about it again. Fine. But like in the moment, all I'm thinking about is the week that we just had where we brought a live goat and chickens and things to feed these people and seen, you know, the conditions that they're living in, which is great now, but thinking about where they came from and now they have clean water for the first time in their lives and just really having this incredibly impactful perspective shifting experience. And maybe it sounds cliche, but understanding the abundance, like the extreme, extreme, extreme abundance we have here, it shakes you. Like it just rocks you to your core. I came home and like looked at my closet and I'm like, what am I doing? Like in what world
right.
would I ever need this many clothes? So Uganda was big, really, really, really big. And that's still very, very fresh in my mind. That was just November of last year. So I'm still processing and integrating that trip, to be honest, because it was a lot. It was heavy. There were some hard moments and tough things to look at that, you know, we're just so far removed from here.
Yeah. And I think there's like, you have to just sort of get into a space of accepting this is the hand I was dealt and now I can help.
Yeah.
And like, the hand they were dealt. And
right.
Like their lack of resentment toward me for the hand I was dealt was striking to me. Like they were just nice to me to be nice to me. And I was like, everyone there. And I was like, wow, I don't know if I was in your shoes, if I would be, I would probably be resentful. And so the fact that was really impactful to me. And I was like, all right, you know, how do I not feel guilty? And, you know, just accept that this is life. We're all just in this.
We're all in this, right? Mm-hmm. We're all the same. We're all connected. You just happen to be dropped into that body in this time at this place. And that's it.
And that's it. I know.
If you get a second go, you know, it might not be the same, right? You might
A
fat, happy house cat. I don't know. Right? Like that actually sounds pretty good. But like we just don't know.
Right. We don't know.
So I didn't feel guilt, but I had a bit of disgust, I guess, if you will, for my priorities at the time or maybe prior to the trip or just how I'd been living life and just realized there were a couple of things I needed to realign on.
Like what?
Materialistic abundance. Like I said, that moment with my closet. Like I came home and I got rid of so much stuff.
Really?
Oh, big purge.
Wow.
Big purge. And I feel like I do after every trip to some capacity. Like we're doing van life right now and you're like, oh, I don't need much at all. So there's always some type of purge after every trip. But that one, got rid of a lot of stuff. And I was just like, oh, like I just stood in there and just stared. But materialism for sure. And then just the ridiculous amount of gratitude I have for the home that we have and having a secure house and walls and a ceiling and floor, like basic human things. I can go to the kitchen and get fresh water.
I know. Toilets.
so much fresh water, we pee in it. Yeah. Like, what?
I know. It's really striking.
Yeah. Striking. Yeah. And gratitude for just being here with infrastructure and how trash is handled and just all those things we don't look at and take for granted. And you're like, oh, it's not the same everywhere else.
No.
Not even close.
Mm-mm. So, all right. Well, let's talk a little bit about daily practices and what you recommend to people and how you've grown yours and what they're like.
Love
if
that
you
question.
Don't mind.
Yes.
I'm all about these practical habits. So let's do that.
Yeah. Mine, I don't think mine are anything special or groundbreaking, but I always, always, always come back to gratitude. Right.
Love
and it's a conversation that I have with clients, whether that's training clients, whether that's mentorship clients. It's like, hold on, pause. And, you know, just with what I said about abundance in our lives, like you can afford a car that you drove to the gym. And you can afford a gym membership. You walked into the gym on two legs, like really slowing down and counting these blessings. And like, even as like, we think we have nothing to be grateful for. Okay. Do you have a fridge with food in it? Like, let's be real. Of course you have so much to be grateful for. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely an insane amount of abundance that so much of the world is lacking. So always checking in with gratitude. Matt and I sometimes like to go back and forth before we go to bed and talk about the things that we're grateful for.
We do that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I will use, you know, my mala beads to go around and pick, you know, a different great gratitude item for each beads and make it all the way around. Like, of course I have 108 things to be grateful for.
Of course.
Of course.
You better have 108,000.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, helping clients with those practices and really, really pulling them back into perspective and just reminding them of how amazing their lives are, how capable they are.
Yeah.
And having an appreciation for all the limitless, unknown, amazing potential that's coming their way.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. That's pretty simple.
Yeah, it's simple and incredibly effective. You're raising your frequency, raising your vibration every time you think of something and truly feel that thing.
Yes, mm-hmm. And you're actually boosting your immune system with your immunoglobulin A. Gratitude is proven to boost your immune system.
You're not going to get anything negative out of that practice.
That's right.
Yeah.
You are not. So
yeah.
I'm a huge fan of that. So what else? What did we miss? Is there anything that we missed that wanted to talk about? I mean, I feel like we talked a lot about transformation, but we didn't talk about shifting identities and reinventing yourself. And how to navigate that. And I mean, do you really feel like you've completely reinvented yourself?
Maybe not completely, but close.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty close. You know, like I touched on, I was living in this very, very masculine world that was super focused on lifting heavy and aggression and just the world that powerlifting is.
Yeah.
And
I imagine like steroids and,
sure. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a big part of it. So very, very more standard, stereotypical, what you might think of masculine, you know, qualities. I wouldn't say divine masculine by any stretch, but very,
shadow masculine maybe.
Yeah.
A little.
Yeah. More stereotypical. So very much lived in that world for a long time and then slowly started finding new things that I was interested in because I did suffer a pretty severe back injury. And looking back, that was one of the best things that ever happened to me, right? Because it forced me to figure out, okay, once again, if you aren't an athlete, who are you?
Yeah.
What else do you enjoy? And that's one thing I really, really hammer home with my clients too, is you better know who you are outside of the gym, because your identity being tied to one single thing, a physical thing, that could be taken away from you in an instant. Okay, well, if that happens, who are you? Who's Amy? If that goes, right? So you have to know that you have to enjoy other things outside of the gym. You have to work on yourself in a spiritual way, not just in a physical way. And I, of course, had that moment and was forced to figure out who I was outside of a power lifter. And of course, it made me a better coach, a better friend, a better partner. I wasn't so highly obsessed with going to the gym and high key focused on that I was choosing to miss out on other things in life, right? So that path led me down a direction of getting exposed to more people doing different things outside of the fitness lifting bubble that I had been in for so long, you know, started experimenting with plant medicine, you know, 5 years ago or whenever that was. And that really opened so many other doors to exploring these other parts of myself, these more feminine parts, and really finding a more harmonious relationship for those energies being being here. And it's been a journey, and it's really, really interesting trying to share and shift online, you know, because so many people are following you for what you started out as. And many people would just prefer if you just stayed in your lane and kept being that person forever, because they don't want to see you change, right? They want you to remain that. And luckily, I've shared new things and it's all been received well. And I've had people comment like, oh, it's looked effortless. And I'm like, well, great. Because inside, turmoil.
There was plenty of effort.
Right. Like, how is this going to be received? All the usual things you would feel as I'm sharing more about plant medicine, spirituality, breathwork, all these other things that I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. And I can still do the lifting heavy and enjoy that and be able to flip that switch as an athlete and tap into that aggression when I need to, because I still love that piece. But I'm also approaching it from a completely different perspective now, right? Yeah. Treating training as an act of honor, reverence, out of love for my body, not this just aggression or punishment or whatever it might have been, right? It's a very, very different approach.
Yeah, it's interesting how that went along with you choosing to go forward with the surgery at, like, you know, completely. 2018, 2020, like
completely that, along the same timeline. It changed my relationship with just not only my body, but absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. Everything in my life. And I've really, really embraced having this more feminine energy and this more feminine side, and being softer and being slower, and even, you know, both sides of the feminine, just embracing it all for what it is. I really feel like I've come to a good, good point with it. And I do so many different styles of coaching. Like we talked about change having to become your identity. I'm like, well, I do the one-on-one mentorship, the breathwork, the coaching. And then I'm like, transformation coach, because we need to get all this grouped under one umbrella here.
Well, it's good to have all those modalities, because then completely. You can look at the holistic situation of someone and say, okay, you know what? You're heavier here. Let's incorporate this.
Vice
versa.
Right. Whatever. Right. I've got so many clients that I'm like, okay, well, what are we doing for energetic recovery? They're like, what?
What's energetic recovery?
Like, maybe try some Reiki, try some breathwork, maybe go get a sun bath, you know, any of these things that maybe they didn't look at before, because otherwise you're trying to build this foundation of a building with like half the materials. Like, we can't neglect these pieces. Like, they're essential to this growth that we're trying to find. So shifting identities is uncomfortable and weird and not effortless, although I appreciate the person that said that to me. But that's change, right? That's growth. It's always going to be uncomfortable while you're climbing that mountain, but it's always worth it.
I totally agree. All right. As we're wrapping up then, is there anything that you want to leave everyone with? Any thought or anything you want to reiterate, or just something coming up, or even anything that we missed that you'd really like to talk about before we go?
Yeah. Great question. Coming back to where we spoke about trusting yourself. I really like that concept. And at such a deeper level, we have to really grasp that and embody that trust, because that's the first step of any transformation, right? Is trusting yourself that, okay, if I step off the edge, like, I know I'm going to catch myself, right? Because no one else can do it for you. Like, you've got to be the one that has full belief in your capabilities, in that trust, in your potential. And once you've done it once, it just gets easier. Keep building that evidence. Keep building up that evidence bank, that when something does arise in the future, you can look at that and say, oh, I've handled this before. It's going to be okay.
It's like working out a muscle. Same thing.
Yep. Just getting reps in.
Yeah, just getting your reps in. Exactly.
Just getting your reps in.
Good. Well, how can everybody find you and work with you?
Yes, you can find me on social media. I'm on Instagram at Bonshro, BONSCHRO. Feel free to book a call with me. Shoot me a DM. I will respond super quickly. and we'll figure out whatever it is you've got going on.
That's so nice. And then also, I wear Not Dead Yet all the time. Yeah. So if anybody's interested in, it's all on your LinkedIn bio too.
It's all in the LinkedIn bio. You can find a bunch of cool stuff in there. You can book a call with me. You can come to a breathwork class. You can figure out what group travel we've got coming up next.
Oh yeah, actually, yes. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that because I wanted to just, you know, again, highlight you have Galapagos coming up this year or next year?
It's going to be in December of 2024. Yeah, the trip will launch in March. So it isn't up there yet.
Oh, okay.
But it will be soon. We're going to be taking a group of, I think, like 16 or 18 people to the Galapagos with us, which should be like this amazing,
so tempting,
wildlife-focused adventure. So really, really cool opportunity there. But yeah, you can find a ton of stuff, link in bio. Our clothing brand is notdeadyet.com. Our mentorship group, you can find out more information on that, ndylife.com. Mm-hmm. And we do have a couple exciting retreats coming up as well.
How do you feel about that, Not Dead Yet, the name?
Yeah, I mean, it resonates in every possible way.
Yeah, I bet.
Every possible way.
Did you help think of that? Did you and Matt think of that together? Or?
So it was a tagline that we had used with the old clothing brand.
Yes,
so
I
much.
I remember.
And that was constantly, you know, doing really well and hitting a note with people just on a deeper level. And so the brand actually rebranded at the beginning of 2023 to Not Dead Yet. And it's just very simple, very straightforward. Like, you understand what that means and everyone can resonate to that with their own story, their own experiences. So it's been really beautiful to see.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. And I love the quality. I love this. You've sent them to Justin and then I steal them. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome.
So if anybody sees me in a yellow gold beanie, that's theirs and it's the best.
NDY. It's NDY. A way of life.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. I'm so happy that we got to while you were here in town in real life. I love the energy of being here together. And
thank you.
Yeah. And yes, I'm so happy to have had these experiences with you already and look forward to many more.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just such a special soul. So thank you. And thank you for, you know, the person you continue to push yourself to be and grow into and to expand and share with others.
Thank you. Transformation.
Transformation. We need just love big you so transformation much. Shirts. Let's transform. Thank you for being here because you're showing up for your own transformation just every time you show up for these podcasts, because that is, again, I sound like a broken record, I know, but every time that we show up, you know, in that space, we are inviting that energy in. So thank you so much for being here. I am thrilled. Please rate, review, subscribe, all of that stuff. You can find all the links on my amyedwards.info page, including my courses. And I love you so much. Everything's in the show notes about Bonnie too. Please follow her at Bon Schro, BonSchro on Instagram. And I guess that wraps it up. I'm just thrilled to be here. We have a lot more great episodes coming up in the next couple of months with amazing women in particular. So I'm stoked about that. So thank you to our guest, Bonnie Schroeder, today. Thank you to you for being here. Till next time.
This has been the Amy Edwards Show from Overcome Studios. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you so much for being here. Sign up for our newsletter at amyedwards.com.